Alright, welcome everybody. On a Tuesday, Trash Talk with Tony Brodsky is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, for the first time in a very long time, I have my entire crew with me. Everybody is here. Eli Bashy, Mike Bilica, Jay Horn is back, Grant Richards is here, and so is Tyler Sawa. I'm sure this show is totally going to stay on track, and it's going to be just a normal episode. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I just wish we were all packed in that one room in
I do not miss being jam-packed. In the summer. I do not miss being jam-packed in the WXOU Live studio, especially on a hot summer day like today. That would not be okay. It was hot in the middle of the winter. I don't know what it feels like now. But let's get into the introductions. Let's start with Eli Bashy. How are you today, Eli? How's work going?
I'm doing good. I was supposed to get out right now, but I got out an hour early, so here I am.
He's here.
Work is going well. I really like it. I'm having a good time. Life is good.
Can I ask you what you spent? What was your first purchase with your first paycheck?
I don't think I've actually spent any of it yet, to be honest with you. I'm a big saver. I don't think I'm going to be spending a lot of my money that I get. It's probably just going to see that bank account keep going up.
Smart man. I respect it. Smart man. Let's go to Mike Bilica now. How are you today, Mike?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, the enthusiasm sounded like you're doing great.
Yeah, all right, let's move on. Thank you, Mike.
Let's move on. Thank you, Mike. Let's go to Jay Horn. Oh.
Yeah, I'm more excited. I'm more excited than Mike.
Jay, you got some plans this weekend. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, Mike has a lot of plans this weekend,
especially Friday night.
Oh boy, you going to Chicago?
Oh boy.
Oh no.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah. Let's actually go to Jay Horn now.
You're going to go all out, Mike?
No, stop.
I'm going to go on a rampage.
Great. Let's go to Jay Horn, who is making his return this week. How are you today, Jay?
Little pain in my arm, but I'm great.
Maybe you should come to physical therapy, Jay. Yeah. Oh. I'll take care of
you. I'd rather not, sir.
For a tattoo?
Yeah, I got a tattoo, guys. That was cool. I'm going to Vegas this week. I've been pretty active on Twitter in the past couple hours.
Oh yeah, great.
But it's nice to be back. I have a hoop run tonight too, man. So I might
turn
on my inner Kate Cunningham, you know, in and out behind the back.
I hope you do.
You know,
put out some frustrations on the court, as if you know someone was talking bad about our city. You know?
Yeah,
just take that anger out on the court.
I gotcha.
But Jay, it's good to have you back.
Always.
Yeah. Let's go to Grant Richards now. Mike, you already know the deal.
Grant, as always, the sports better.
We're still cold. I've done a lot of things. I have rabbit's feet on the end of my keychain. No, I'm just kidding. Just continuing to grind. Doing what we can. We're minimizing losses, so we're not just throwing money into a fire. It's kind of, we're getting somewhere. Did get to bet on the Raiders, -2.5. Easy cash, by the way.
It did hit.
Teach them into God, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, well, I put out a part of the show for you to talk about that. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah. It's all right, though, Grant. You know, we talked about it last week. Even if you're coldest of the cold, you're eventually going to bounce back. I had that one stretch where I was really cold. Then I bounced back. And now look at me. 4 straight winning weeks. We're going
to
keep
Tony, it's great to hear that. But every time you say it now, it starts to sting a little bit. It's like, all right, where's my bounce back?
It's going to come, I promise.
Grant, you can always count on those underground Little League bets.
I got to start finding if anyone knows where I can legally place Little League bets, hit me up, because I would be up 4 units right now.
I will give you a number to call.
Yeah. Yeah.
And an address.
800, get help.
Yeah. Yeah, I know a number that you can call for Little League bets. It's the gambling hotline.
Stop it. Get some help.
Oh,
dude,
dear.
I'm, It's not a problem if I'm good at it.
Jay left the call. Jay was so disgusted that he left the call. Jay, are you okay?
Yeah, I was making some pretzel bites. I'm sorry.
Great. I need to make sure that you're fueled up for the show today, so make sure you get those pretzel bites in you. Thank you very much. Before you hoop run. But yeah, Grant, listen, you're going to bounce back. I feel it coming. And for me, let's keep it rolling. Last but not least, Tyler Sawa, back for a second straight week. How are we doing today, Tyler?
Doing very well. A lot Ooh. More enthusiastic than Mike today. But
Mike, are you okay? What happened?
I'm actually very happy. It's going to be a great week, I'm telling
you. He's not outside today. No crickets.
Yeah. And you told us before we started recording that you had donuts at work this morning. I really thought you'd be in a better mood.
I had free donuts and free coffee.
I thought you'd be in a better mood.
Work today.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. I think I might know why.
Not to cut you off, Tyler. I think I might know why. It's because he found out last night that there are no elephant ears in Toledo.
Breaking news. We are heading to Toledo this week. And we're going to watch Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green. So very excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited to catch minor league baseball with Tyler. It's like, man, that's...
Oh, my God. If Juan Centeno's catching that ball game, too.
Oh,
my goodness. Please.
Okay, so Tyler, you doing good?
I'm doing well. I'm doing great, actually. Monday night, I'm glad Trash Talk 2 weeks in a row. I mean, breaking records out here. So, yes, I'm very happy to be here today.
It's great to have you here. It's great to have the whole crew together. I mean, honestly, I don't know when was the last time we had the whole...
I do.
Oh, he does know.
March 11th, 2000.
Jay wasn't part of the show.
Jay was part of the show. It was when Blake Griffin was in Trade Rumors.
Man, that's a long time.
I was on that show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I was in my apartment. I remember that show.
We were talking about where Blake Griffin should go or where good fits for Blake Griffin. I remember we mentioned like Boston, Phoenix. And
the retirement home is a good fit for him.
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
Okay. Well,
Mike, you work by one and the Henry Ford one.
You're right about that.
All
right.
It's time to get the show started. Thank you, gentlemen. Good to have everyone back this week. Let's get started. And there's a lot to talk about today. And we'll talk some Lions and some Raiders for Grant as we tease a little bit. We'll do that later in the program as week one of the preseason is now over. I was going to try to fit some Pistons Summer League into the show too, but as I was scripting out the show this morning, I honestly don't think we're going to have enough time to do like a full breakdown of our thoughts on the Pistons and the Summer League. So I'm just going to save that to next week. Plus, you know, it is Monday night at the time of recording this. The last Pistons preseason game starts in less than an hour, so I feel like it's better to just wait until after this last preseason game, and then we'll get out all of our thoughts on Cade, Killian, Luka Garza, and the entire Pistons Summer League. We'll do that next week. But still, very loaded show today, so let's get right into it. Let's start with the Tigers. There's a lot to talk about the Tigers this week, and I want to start with Miggy, because obviously he is chasing career home run number 500, and that has created a real big buzz around the team. Now, the series itself against Cleveland turned into a dud. Not a great series, but Comerica Park was still electric this past weekend against Cleveland. The park was full, and the crowd was buzzing, especially during any Miggy at-bats. It was incredible to see on TV. For literally every Miggy AB, the crowd was on their feet, getting ready to possibly record history, and they were silent. You could hear a pin drop in Comerica Park. It seemed that quiet. Again, it was really incredible to see. I never seen anything like that. Though Miggy did not hit number 500 over the weekend, and though the Tigers lost 2 out of 3 to Cleveland, it was still awesome to see Comerica packed the way that it was. Saturday in particular sounded like an awesome atmosphere, and that's where I want to begin. In the call, we have someone who was inside Comerica Park on Saturday. Tyler, talk to me about what Saturday's game was like as someone who was inside a packed and electric Comerica Park.
Yeah, no, the atmosphere at Comerica on Saturday was unbelievable. And I was telling you after that game on Saturday that it kind of just like brought back like memories from like when I was younger heading to Comerica Park, you know, when the Tigers were obviously, you know, competing for the Central and just a very good baseball team. And the park was you know, damn near almost sold out every game. They had the milestones of a million fans or whatever it was. It was a lot of fans per year, whatever, right? And that game on Saturday just, like, brought back so many memories of seeing a packed house at Comerica Park. And, you know, the crowd's reaction, especially, like you mentioned, with Miguel Cabrera's at-bats, like, it was unbelievable. Like, it legitimately felt like a playoff game, even though the game, in, like, hindsight, or in reality, means nothing. Like, it's two mediocre baseball teams going playing a game in August. So, like, the meaning behind the game is really nothing outside of Miguel Cabrera chasing history. But the atmosphere in Comerica Park, like, it was unbelievable. And it kind of felt like it was, like, a turning curve almost. Like, it's kind of felt like this for the last couple months. I think Tiger fans could relate to this, is that, you know, these last couple months where the Tigers have been more competitive and, you know, not showing that they're the worst team in baseball or even a bottom five team in baseball. They're showing they're more average now, I would say. I think we're kind of seeing, you know, some change with this team, and I think the fans are starting to pick up on that. And, you know, Saturday's crowd really was a nice outlook of, you know, what the season's been, and I think what it's going to be going forward, you know, going for this future rebuild. It just seems like we're kind of getting out of that, you know, mutt. But Saturday night, unbelievable. Miggy's obviously chasing history, going for home run number 500, only 20 other players in MLB history have ever done that. He's obviously going for 3,000 hits, which he's a little farther away of that. I believe he's 49 hits away or something like that away from.
Yeah, I think it's 49.
Yeah, so something like that from the 3,000, which he would be the sixth MLB player of all time to do that. So obviously what Miggy's doing right now and is trying to accomplish is big time stuff. And he's just adding to that Hall of Fame resume. And I think in our era, in our generation, I think he has a legit argument to be the best right-handed hitter we have ever seen. And maybe I'm biased and I'll say he is the best right-handed hitter, but he has a legitimate argument with guys like Albert Pujols and Mike Trout and some other guys. But it's unbelievable what he's trying to chase right now. And he's one home run away from accomplishing five home runs. And, you know, the Tiger fans are supporting it. And it's been unbelievable this past weekend when he's been at 499. And it seems like any ball he hits, the crowd is going bonkers. Like that one Saturday night in the eighth inning where it barely went foul. Oh my God. I thought he hit it. And
I leaped out of my seat.
Yeah. The crowd was going bonkers. And man, if he hit it, it would have been something. But yeah, no, the crowd's been phenomenal. It was phenomenal this whole weekend. And I would say especially Saturday night, it was a good game for the Tigers as well, picking up a big win versus Cleveland. And it was a good weekend for Tigers baseball. Miggy's got three more games in this homestand to try to get 500. So hopefully he can get it within this homestand and he can do it at home at Comerica, because the fans deserve it as well, man. I mean, they're showing up to the park and they're behind a guy right now and they want to see it happen live. So, you know, I hope he does it at Comerica Park for him, himself, and for Tiger fans in general.
Let me ask you, what was the highlight of the night for you on Saturday?
Highlight of the night. So, I mean, Tigers winning was always, it's a good highlight.
Of course.
Yeah, so that was a great highlight. I would say the highlight of the night, I mean, it was fun when they were tied up in the bottom of the eighth inning and, you know, we got a little rally going, got the bases loaded, and then the hometown kid, Eric Haas, delivers in a big-time situation once again, gets two runs in, and that ended up being the dagger and winning the game. Gregory Soto electric on Saturday night.
1-2-3, two strikeouts.
Yeah, a phenomenal job on Saturday night. So I'd probably say Eric Haas' RBI single with the bases loaded.
Here is the biggest question I have for you about Saturday night. And I'm sure Mike has the same question. Did you consume any elephant ears?
I did not.
Oh, Mike.
I did not. What did I eat that day? I actually got a Little Caesars pizza.
Any chicken fingers and french fries?
No, because I want to save my appetite because I want to eat
for
after.
What?
Oh. I want to eat after in downtown.
Did you go to Marcus Grill? Oh, never mind.
Well, no,
that's
I didn't
a
go
little
to
bit
Van
far
Dyke.
From downtown.
I was not going to Van Dyke at 11 o'clock at night.
Marcus Grill at 25 Van Dyke?
Yeah, and I believe their hours, what are they close at 9, 10 o'clock? I don't know if that's changed, but that's when it was when we went.
Every time Grant hears 25 in Van Dyke, he just freaks.
Does he?
I didn't know the mile roads went past like 19. I thought they just stopped at 19, honestly. Like, someone told me my parents live at, like, 32. I was like, that's not a real mile road.
Yeah, I'll go visit them in a month, Grant.
Yeah.
They'll only be 3 miles away.
Close yeah, Eli is moving out to, like, 80 mile.
I honestly thought the same thing as well, Grant. I just did not think that was I didn't think that was real, but here we are, finding out friends from 25 and Van Dyke, and it is insane because they went to school around my area, which
Robin Christian.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The guys that own the Marcus Grill are like, I don't know if they own it, but they work there.
For that.
Yeah, they work there. But I mean, they went to school and they went to high school, so 5 days a week in my area, which 25 and Van Dyke is very far away. Yeah, which is very far away.
Yeah, I thought they went to Brother Rice because I remember them saying no bullying DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, so yeah, they went to
that's
Rice.
That's by my house.
Brother Rice, yeah, Brother Rice is like 15 minutes from my house. And how far are you from 25 and Van Dyke, Jay?
I know what it is, bro. I'm gonna assume like about an hour, maybe 30, 40. Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty far.
It's pretty far. But no, Saturday was awesome to see, even if you weren't at Comerica Park. And this upcoming series against the Angels too is going to be another big one. At Comerica, the Angels, even without Mike Trout, they're still fighting in the AL wildcard race, though they are on the outside looking in. But most importantly, they have the current AL MVP on their team, Shohei Ohtani, who is, I believe, going to start on Wednesday against Tarek Skubal and the Tigers.
Yeah, Wednesday night.
Yep. Yeah, Wednesday night. It's going to be Tarek Skubal and Shohei Ohtani. That's going to be really fun to see. And so is Miggy versus Shohei. I've already seen some people on Twitter say, oh my goodness, if he hits number 500 off of Shohei, that would be electric. If Miggy can do it against the current AL MVP, jeez. That would be insane. But I do know that Jay has tickets to see Shohei and Miggy this week. Jay, how are you feeling right now, knowing that you will be in Comerica Park to see a superstar in Shohei Ohtani, along with possibly Miggy getting history?
Well, preferably, I wish I was going on the game Wednesday, but I'll be there tomorrow.
Tuesday.
Yeah, I prefer he hits it tomorrow, honestly, you know. Little selfishness there, but if he doesn't, I'd rather him hit it on Wednesday. Like, it has to be Tuesday or Wednesday. But I'm kind of excited to see Shohei. I don't think Mike Trout is playing that game either, so.
No, he's out.
Yeah, he's still hurt, so that's a bummer. But, I mean, I hope he hits it tomorrow, but if not, it'd be really funny for him to hit it on Wednesday.
And by tomorrow, we mean today, because we'll be releasing this on Tuesday.
And I need him to pull it, though. I don't want an opposite field home run.
Where are your seats at?
I'm sitting in left field, like two rows up from the bullpen, our bullpen.
Well, not the visiting bullpen like last
time. Oh, no. No Jason Veritek showings anymore. No.
Manny?
No.
Manny Ramirez. Or not Manny. What was his name?
It was not Manny Ramirez.
That was a bit Ramirez. I don't remember what it was.
I need him to pull that 500th home run. He has to pull it.
I need him to hit a period, because as Tyler said, I would love to see Miggy do it at home. You remember he hit 499 in the second game of three against Baltimore, and the hot conversation on Twitter was, is AJ going to sit him for game three? And I tweeted it. I was like, I would prefer to sit Miggy for this game, so he could try to do it at home.
You know what I was thinking, though, Tony?
What?
So Miggy hit his 400th home run versus St. Louis, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Tigers play St. Louis in like a week or
oh,
two.
Oh, boy.
Oh, in St. Louis.
Great. History's going to repeat itself. He's going to hit 500 in St. Louis.
He might do it again.
I'm sure Jack Fox would love that. Oh, actually, yeah. I might want that to happen so I can rub it in Jack's face.
Maybe hit 400 in the 500th career home run versus your Cardinals.
Yeah, I would love to trash talk. Pun. I would love to trash talk Jack Fox about that. Little backstory about Jack Fox. Yes, we're talking about the Lions punter. So at the Summer Baseball Bash earlier this year, Tyler and I ran into Jack Fox, and, you know, Tyler and Jack are cool, so they had a little conversation. I was kind of, you know, just hanging around on the outside or whatever, and I asked Jack if he is a Cardinals fan, because I remembered Tyler telling me that he's a Cardinals fan, and Jack's response was, yeah, I'm a Cardinals fan. Remember 2006? And I just had the most disgusted Jesus. Look on my face. I had the most disgusted look on my face. I'm like, Tyler, we're leaving. I can't do it. And he kept on doing it, too. That was the worst part, Tyler.
Yeah, he was very repetitive.
As we were walking away, he kept on going, 2006, 2006. I'm like, okay, Jack, nice to meet you. We're joking, obviously. Jack's a, a great guy. But
if he's gonna do it outside of Comerica, I hope it's in St. Louis. I hope it's not like Toronto. If it's not gonna be Comerica, it better be St. Louis.
Mike, they're going to the Rogers Center next or this current weekend.
I'm gonna say one thing about the Rogers Center.
Please be nice.
Shows. I'll tell you that.
What?
The age of Rogers Center actually shows. Man, that ballpark is not a ball. It's not a ballpark to me. It really isn't. It's just.
Don't say that to Tony. Tony loves dome stadiums.
Man, that's.
Well, it not that kind of dome. You like, you all know what kind of dome that I need.
Tony wants that sandy tree dome.
Tony wants a sandy cheeks home.
Yeah. I need that dome, man. I need that dome. You want to know the best part about the dome? Every time I tweet it at the Tigers, people think I'm serious. every time I get at least one or two people going,
you can't build a dome over
Comerica Park. Oh, really? I wasn't aware. Where are you going to put it? Woodward?
Well, what's Grant's meme about your bubble? Grant's a meme that always goes viral every time you post it.
Post the dome.
Simpson meme. Sitting in class and they're like, say the line, Bart. And it's just like, then it's just a picture of the dome over Comerica with a rally goose flying through.
The rally goose was the best addition I ever made to that dome. I did like a little Photoshop and cut out the rally goose and I stuck the goose right inside the dome, and now the goose is forever part of the dome meme. I love it. But getting back on track here, again, like we said, there's just so much buzz around the Tigers right now that even Mike is getting some time in to watch the Tigers. He was at Comerica Park on Friday night. I want to talk about that with Mike now. So Mike, talk to me about that experience of being in Comerica Park on Friday, and talk about your overall feeling about the Tigers right now, because you made me very proud on Sunday. You made me very proud. Sunday's game against Cleveland was awful. 11-0 loss, and the Tigers nearly had a perfect game thrown against them. But Hinton Herald broke it up in the 8th inning. In our group text, it was Mike who first sent the text talking about Hinton Herald just broke it up. That made me very proud. So, Mike, again, what was your experience at Comerica on Friday, and how are you feeling about the team right now?
I love Comerica. Anytime I'm there, I'm happy. It's a good time. You got the nice breeze. You got the sun.
Got
it's just
elephant ears.
Elephant ears. Buy one, get one free elephant ears. It's just a good time.
I don't think it's actually buy one, get one free.
I think it was only that time. Like, you got to come at that specific
maybe
time.
Maybe they recognized you from Trash Talk.
Maybe they did. That's probably what happened.
Can you imagine that? They're like, "Oh, you guys are the hosts from Trash Talk? Here on me."
Yeah, that would be a first.
That'd be amazing.
But yeah, man, I have such respect for the game of baseball and just the Tigers, and it's I had a great time. Every time Miggy would be at bat, it was just phenomenal. The atmosphere is unreal. Everyone would stand up, it'd be loud, and then, like, literally a second later, it's just dead silent. It's crazy.
Mike is someone who doesn't record at games either. I learned that this weekend.
Nope, I'm going to sit there and enjoy it, because everyone's going to have a video. Bally's going to have a video. What does my video have to do? You know, what am I going to do with the video?
I was thinking that as well, honestly. I recorded the first at bat, but then I'm like, what am I doing? And my phone was on 8% anyway, so I was not going to record anymore.
Yeah, boy, that's a good perspective. I want to see him get at home.
I would prefer to see him get it here than the Rogers Center. I wouldn't mind St.
Stadium.
Louis.
Bush Stadium, man.
I would not mind St. Louis.
I don't want to see it in Toronto. I just don't. It's going to go like, oh my God, it's going to go into a section that has like no fans or something. It's going to be awful.
They're going to boo him.
Hey, they live in Canada, so they're already losing.
Oh, great, Mike. Thank you.
Just saying.
I don't think they'd boo him. If it was Cleveland, I think they would boo him. I don't think.
Oh my God.
I don't know, man.
Cleveland would have absolutely booed him.
Yeah, Cleveland, absolutely. Toronto, uh-huh. I don't know, man. That's like 50-50. I wouldn't be shocked if they did. Whatever.
I want to say something. Whoever catches the ball, give it back to Miggy.
Like, ask what you got to ask for, but, like, give it back to him.
Give it back.
I'll give it back. I'll give it back to him, but
give
there's
what
a
you
price
need.
Involved.
Just give it back.
Yeah, you know, you could ask for something in return. But give it back.
Yeah.
What would you ask for in return, Mike?
Man, season tickets. Assigned.
That's ridiculous.
Why? No, it's not.
Season tickets?
Yes, they're not that
expensive. You understand.
I think he'd ask for unlimited elephant years.
I was going to say, you would ask for a pass for elephant years every time you go to Comerica.
I think that's more reasonable than season tickets.
Season tickets are not that much for them. Come on.
Okay.
How much does Maggie make in a year? Like 35 mil?
I don't know, but you can't ask for season tickets for a baseball. The Tigers security guy's going
to
laugh at you.
No, he's not. He's going to give
me.
You're
asking Miggy directly. Miggy's
Tyler?
Got like a $250 million contract.
I would
contract.
Ask Miggy. I don't care about security.
You would ask Miggy. Yeah, Miggy handles season
Spanish, I would ask him.
Do you speak Spanish?
You speak Spanish.
I know someone that speaks Spanish.
Okay, we're done here.
Bear speaks Spanish.
No, we're done here. We're done. Oh,
the what?
Necesito dinero.
Bear speaks Spanish like fluently.
How's Bear doing?
Heck if I know.
Go Bears.
Go Bears.
Very funny, Bear.
Okay. Well, since Eli's talking, let's go to him now. We're gonna get everyone in here on the Tigers segment. Tyler, cut your mic off right now. You're done. Eli, I know you've also watched a little Tigers baseball recently. I think even last week you said you're a big baseball guy. So what are your thoughts on the Tigers buzz right now?
Yeah, this is honestly probably the most Tigers games I've watched since like 2016.
Well, you are a big baseball guy.
I was a very big baseball guy growing up.
No, you are currently.
I'm getting back into it. Like, I joke about being a big hockey guy. I'm not at all, but I actually religiously watch the Tigers.
Joke. That's not a joke.
No, it's
you're
it's
a big hockey guy.
I will be a big hockey guy.
Give me your scouting report on Simon Edvinson.
He's a good. He's good at whatever he does. He's very good at that.
What's your Sebastian Kosa?
What's your thoughts on Sebastian?
That's a goalie.
Kosa?
That's a goalie we got.
Hey,
I know that guy.
Give me your thoughts on trading for Alex Nedeljkovic.
I have very many thoughts about that we don't have time for today, sadly, because I have so many thoughts. You know,
what about Pew Suter from Chicago?
Yeah, pew pew. Yeah, Pepe Le Pew. Great.
okay.
I like the Tigers right now. I think AJ Hinch has them playing good baseball. They got shut out on Sunday. I watched the entire game. Kind of wish I could have that time back, but
why
I was hoping.
Why did you watch the entire game?
I was hoping Miggy would maybe do it, but he didn't. So
I did not want to see Miggy do it in a
blowout. I thought it would be hilarious if
I would not have been laughing.
Like a solo home run from Miggy is what like ended the potential perfect game. I thought that would have been hilarious, but
okay, that would have been cool. But in general, like let's say the Tigers had like maybe two hits on the board and it was still 11-0, then I would have been like, good grief.
Yeah, I was just thinking like, imagine in the eighth inning he still has a perfect game and then Miggy just ends it with a home run. That would have been sweet. So that's why I watched the whole game. But I'm really interested to see how they'll be next year because. I mean, they're almost 500. They're second, I think, still in the division.
They're one game back at the time recording this.
Yeah, so it's they've been a fun watch this summer for once, and it's good to see. And people are going to the games, and I think baseball might be back in Detroit.
You know, I saw people talking over the weekend, and one specific tweet that I saw, and I forget who tweeted this, so I apologize, but I remember someone saying on Twitter, how can Chris Illich and Al Avila see Comerica rocking the way that it is, or the way that it was this weekend, and that doesn't convince them to spend some money this offseason, some big money. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting topic to talk about this offseason.
I think they will spend money this offseason. I think they're seeing the changing of the what's happening on the field. I think they're motivated now, man. Even Chris and Al saying we're not rebuilding anymore. And
Straight up said they're not rebuilding no more.
And Chris says, he's willing to put money into this season. We'll see,
Let's hope.
How serious he is. But yeah, it's going to be a big offseason for this organization.
Absolutely. It's going to be a massive, massive offseason. I want to end this little part of the Tigers segment with Grant. Grant, did you watch any Tigers baseball over the weekend? I want to get you involved as well. Did you watch any Tigers baseball? And what's your thoughts on Miggy chasing 500 here?
I had stopped by periodically throughout the Tigers almost getting perfect gamed. But usually I'm not really available on the weekends to watch Tiger baseball, just prior commitment to the golf course. But no, I would love it if he did it at home. I would love it if he did it tomorrow because I'm actually going to be at the game. But
oh, you're going on Tuesday too.
Yes, I am. I thought I was getting Shohei as well, and that was a little disappointing. But whatever. If it happens tomorrow, I'd love it. But I'd love it to happen in Comerica. And I don't know. It's exciting. Obviously, there's a lot of pressure on him. And me and my brother have had some discussions of – you guys remember when Barry Bonds was chasing his record? And they brought up some guy from the minors just to throw to him, just to give him that 756 or whatever it was. Like, I feel like everybody that pitches against him really doesn't want to be the guy. So I think it's really cool to see Miggy get everybody's best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever's stuff he takes probably to right field. And it's going to be a part of history. He's going to be a part of that video. And so it's just Miggy's turn to prove that he's still got it. And I'm ready to see it, hopefully in person tomorrow.
It's a fun time to be a Tigers fan because of everything we just talked about. And because both Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green got promoted to Toledo on Sunday night. That'll transition us into our next and final Tigers topic for today. Tyler, I'm bringing you in here for this one. You and I were talking about this over the weekend, and on Sunday, I told you, I think it might happen today, as in Sunday, but I wasn't really confident in saying that, because I was like, I feel like it's going to happen today, because when there were first rumblings about Tork and Dingler going to Erie, it happened that same weekend. So we first heard the rumblings of Riley and Tork going to Toledo. I'm like, hey, maybe it happens today. But I'm like, it's not going to happen today. But then it happened today, as in Sunday night. Toledo, Tork, and Riley, they are a step closer to the show now. Tyler, talk to me about their promotions.
I think we both had a hunch that when it was like a
everyone had a hunch, game. Honestly.
When they had a bad game in Detroit versus Cleveland, and we heard the rumblings like throughout the week, I'm like, I feel like Sunday's the day it's going to happen. I feel like this is going to be Riley's last day. Has a triple on his last game in Erie. Has a 2-hit game. Goes off on the bank. Torque's not in the lineup. I'm like, I have a hunch. It's going to be today. And little did we know, it was today. Or, like you said, it was Sunday. But, no, this is good news. This is really good news. Because I was telling Tony this, too. I think, you know, over on the minor leagues this year, like from our top guys, and we've had some other guys step up. I think it's been almost a perfect minor league season this year as far as development, including Spencer Torkelson, including Riley Green and other prospects that go with that. But the top two guys, I mean, they've been phenomenal this whole season. And what Riley Green is doing right now is just absolutely unbelievable. The guy is 20 years old. He's the same age as me right now. He's 20 years old, and he's going to play in AAA ball already, which that was not the expectation when they drafted him in 2019, and especially getting held back a central year with the COVID year last year in 2020, because last year, all he had was spring ball versus other, you know, other teams' competition. All he had was spring ball because during the season was just the alternate site in Toledo, and that's all he had. And then Torkelson got drafted, obviously, last year, so didn't get to play rookie ball because of COVID. So only had the alternate site in those little summer league games that they played within, you know, the organization as well. So they had that, and that was it. Torkelson has jumped from high A ball this year to double A and triple A within the season and still has a whole nother month to play baseball. I mean, I think with Torkelson, we kind of expected him to be more of a fast tracker just because he was the first overall pick, college bat. That was more expected, but still nothing to take away from him because he's doing what he was expected to do and is, I think, exceeding expectations of showing versatility to play two positions and his bat just being very good and consistent as far as average, hitting extra base hits, home runs. And then Riley Green, man, I mean, there's so much you could talk about Riley Green. You could play all three outfield positions, hitting for average, hitting for power, getting extra base hits. Like, he's doing everything right now in double A. And I'm really intrigued now for both these guys specifically. You know, now it's a jump to triple A where it's going to be a little more MLB-ish. You're going to see more guys that who've been in the MLB before in AAA now. So it's going to be a big step for those guys and, you know, big for their development. But overall, I think both these guys are in the perfect timeline for what the Tigers are trying to do. We were just talking about it's going to be a big offseason for the Tigers this year. These guys are fitting the timeline of, you know, being up in the show when the Tigers are expected to be competitive, which, you know, could be as soon as next year. But I think realistically, the expectation where we could expect maybe a little bit more from the Tigers is 2023, when we can maybe expect a division title and competing for the division and everything. So these guys are fitting the timeline perfectly. And, you know, now that they're making the next step to Toledo, one step away from the show and being with the big leagues with the Tigers, it's a truly exciting time. And, you know, now that they're kind of together and it looks like they're going to be almost called up around the same time, and they could both make the team out of camp hypothetically next year. Like, it's a really exciting time to be a Tigers fan because, like I've been mentioning, the fans are taking notice that this is a turning curve. I think the organization is finally starting to notice that as well. And you're getting these young players who, you know, your main core of this whole rebuild. And this is what all those bad seasons were for. You know, these were the guys you drafted. And now it's really time to see that, are these guys the real deal? And now we're getting a step closer to see if all that losing was worth it for these specific players, guys like Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson. So them making the next step at Toledo, making a, you know, having a playoff run in Toledo for the next month and a half, it's an exciting time. I mean, we were so excited we bought Toledo tickets. I'm excited. And every Tiger fan should be excited right now.
Mike, is this your first game that you'll be going to Toledo?
Yes. I'm excited. I'm ready.
He's excited, ladies and gentlemen. And as Tyler and I said, it's just really exciting times to be a Tigers fan right now. You noticed I mentioned the name Toledo Torque. I've been thinking of that one for a while. Now I get to finally use it because Torque is in Toledo.
So many T's. Tyler, Toledo, Tony, Torque. Toledo, Torque.
Ooh, Mike.
Yeah,
well, that's it. Can't forget Mike. Obviously, I'm aware there's no T in Mike. You can't leave Mike out of it.
Man, but watching minor league baseball with Tyler would be like watching basketball with Hubie Brown. Like,
no Hubie Brown slander on this podcast.
Just this basketball aficionado. Tyler's just this minor league baseball, knows every player, knows the position coaches, knows the base coaches, knows everything about every player.
I really hope we get to see Miguel Del Pozo, MVP, and Locke St. John on Thursday.
No, I hope we see that. The lefty.
Tyler has, like, he knows all their stats.
Eloy Jimenez.
That is not a minor league player. That is not a minor league player. That is a well-known name on the Chicago White Sox. Maybe
but
the
who
AL
was
favorite.
Traded for Jose Quintana, who was a top prospect at one point.
Oh.
He's a fiend.
Right, I'm wrapping up the Tigers talk.
Ladies
again.
You should never know this much about a sport. Never.
Nah, there's nothing wrong with it, but I still need to wrap this up. I've had enough. But again, it's exciting times right now. Miggy's chasing history. Otani is coming to town. Torque and Riley Green are in Toledo. They're one step away from the show. Very exciting times. And the final month and a half of the baseball season should be very fun to watch for the Tigers, even if they aren't going to be making a playoff push or anything like that. Final topic today. Lions, Raiders, in the first week of the 2021 NFL preseason. Listen, it's just the preseason, okay? You never want to take too much away from the preseason because of how vanilla it is. In fact, I think, Tyler, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Dan Campbell come out recently and literally talk about how vanilla the preseason is?
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows it's like a script.
Everyone knows it, like, but when your coach admits it, then that's it's more reinsurance to tell you not to take it seriously.
If the last 2 minutes of that Lions game wasn't a proof that that it's just a preseason game and that they're trying to just see stuff,
people were tweeting at me too. Why didn't he call a timeout? No, it's a preseason. Who cares?
No. You know, like, how about like when they were just trying plays at the end of the game, where like in a real NFL regular season game, you're just running the ball, killing. Mm-hmm. They only have one timeout. The Bills, you let them use that timeout, and then you just kill the clock, kick the game-winning field goal. In reality, that's what you're doing. Yeah. But in a preseason game, you want to see what you got, especially in a late fourth quarter game when you're not don't have your starters out there. You want to see what these guys have. So
not even your backups. It's like third and fourth stringers.
It's like second, third strings, fourth strings. Like, it's everybody out there, man.
Yeah, that's why you can't take the preseason too seriously. But still, it is really good to have football back, though. I enjoyed watching the Lions on Friday, along with the Pistons and the Tigers. My goodness, Friday night was very busy, but it was still fun to watch the Lions and all the rest of that. Now, on Friday night, the Lions did lose their preseason opener to the Buffalo Bills at Ford Field. And even if it was just the preseason, I did like seeing the third and fourth string guys fighting back for the Lions and making the game a little interesting late. I think that could be a common thing, by the way, this season under a former player in Dan Campbell. Never quit on your team and keep on fighting until the final whistle. I think that could be a common thing under Dan Campbell, and I absolutely love that. Now, as for players who stuck out to me on Friday night, defensively, Kevin Strong and Julian Okorah, they both impressed me a lot on defense. And then offense, I'll only mention this guy. How about running back Craig Reynolds? Interesting story about him. Apparently, he introduced himself to his teammates in the huddle during the game because he was signed on Thursday and the game was on Friday. So apparently, he introduced himself to his teammates in the huddle during the game. And then Reynolds went out there and had 49 rushing yards and a touchdown. That's pretty cool. That is definitely pretty awesome. Again, though it's the preseason, I still love having football back. Friday night was very fun. Tyler, talk to me about some of your biggest quote-unquote takeaways from the Lions' first preseason game.
Biggest takeaway is just to go from the beginning. It was very vanilla, not really much to look at. I think even as far as the defensive scheme, I don't think we really saw the full defensive scheme that they're going to be really running in the going into the season. I feel like the looks that we saw on the front where they kind of had that five-man front, like I think we'll see that, but I don't think it's going to be the full extent of what we saw in that game. I think, McNeil will have another defensive tackle next to him instead of Flowers playing the traditional defensive end, because in camp, Romeo Okwara and Flowers, they were playing some linebacker as well, which it's going to kind of be like that stand-up linebacker role, the jack role, they like to call it. And they're going to rush from, standing up instead of putting their hands to the dirt. So overall, I think it was just, just trying stuff out, seeing what they could do. I mean, it was the first game for Aaron Glenn as the defensive coordinator calling plays, so he got that under his wing. I didn't really take away too much from what they were calling, more from just specific players that kind of stood out to me. I think you mentioned Craig Reynolds. I thought he had a phenomenal game. O-line didn't really give him much of holes or really much great blocking at all. It seems like all the running backs that were in that game for the Lions, they all had to create runs for themselves, especially when the backup offensive line came in. And man, those offensive tackles on Friday night after Sewell and Decker got out, that was rough. The offensive line in general was rough. The second unit and the third unit. I mean, it wasn't counting guys like Terrell Crosby because he was hurt.
We were missing Crosby. He's going to be a big piece if we
He's their main backup offensive lineman, so he wasn't there.
Yeah.
But I thought overall, I thought we saw some good signs from the starters. I thought the offensive line is, I think they're slowly gelling together, and I think that's going to be a really good unit for this team going forward. As far as the defense, I thought it was eye-popping that the Bills are already double-teaming Aleem McNeil. I mean, that was his first freaking professional game.
He's going to be a beast, man. He's already drawing double teams. I like him a lot, yeah.
Already drawing double teams. So there's that. I mean, right now, so far, the Lions got still a lot of open competition. I don't think really anybody stood out where they're running away with this competition right now. There's the back quarterbacks. I don't think either Blau or Boyle really ran away with that with this first preseason game. Running back three, I think it even got more interesting now, including a guy like Craig Reynolds, who seemed like he didn't really have much of a chance. But if he has two more really, good games for this team, maybe you put him in the conversation. Yeah, maybe he gets more interesting in the conversation as well. I still think there's a lot of positions up for grabs. I thought Julian Okwara, I thought for a guy who played a lot that game, played essentially three quarters in that game. It was more than I expected. I thought he had some very good moments. Maybe he needs to do a little better on stopping the run and containing the edge. But overall, getting to the quarterback and just getting to the backfield, he was doing that a lot in that game, which, you take with a grain of salt because he was playing versus backup offensive linemen as well. Yeah, overall, I thought he had a good game. Akuda, Amani, I thought they did a solid job at the cornerback spots. Mike Ford showing versatility to play the outside and the inside corner spots. So, still a lot of open competition, but I thought it was a an interesting, good game. Like you said, good to have football back, but not really much to take away from it because it's at the end of the day, it's a preseason game and not really much play calling goes into it. Like, Dan Campbell and his staff are not, like, game planning against the Buffalo Bills for this team. It's just literally a script.
Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, like, you're not game planning for that. Like, the only time you were game planning for a preseason game, I know in years previous when it was the four-week preseason, it would be week three. I don't know if it's this year because there's 3 weeks. It's this week, week two. I don't know what the deal is with the dress rehearsal game is technically now. So, I don't know. I don't know if the preseason's even, like, more. Like, I think it's, like, even less competitive than it used to be now because there's only three games. I feel like it's really just a full fight for backups, and your starter's not really going to get much reps in these games because there's only three games now, so these backups really have to prove that they can make the team, and I think the coaching staff is going to give them more of an opportunity than years previous because there's only three games compared to four. So, overall, you know, thought it was fun to have football back.
I quickly want to mention this with Penei Sewell, too, because I think it was the first one of the first snaps of the game, Gregory Rousseau, Buffalo's first-round pick, he got Penei Sewell. He got him on that play. And, you know, Twitter was doing its thing. Oh, there goes Penei Sewell. Lions picked another bust. And, oh, Gregory Rousseau looking so much better than the Lions' seventh overall pick. But they failed to talk about how Penei Sewell looked really good after that. You know, like Tyler said, I thought Penei and the offensive line, they looked good. And, you know, once they get more playing time underneath them, they get comfortable with each other, they'll be fine. That goes for Penei Sewell, too. I still think he's going to be an absolute beast for us.
The slander was not needed. Not at all.
Again, it's preseason. Whatever.
He hasn't played in the game over a year. I think people forgot he opted out last year. He wasn't bad. Like, people were, like, making his, like, if I can make that excuse if he was bad, but he wasn't bad. He had one bad rep.
He was really good after that.
Yeah, like, he had one bad rep. One bad rep.
He got beat once.
And he had a pancake in that game as well. He had a highlight too.
They didn't see that.
Forget, like, he had a good moment as well in the game.
Whatever. I still love Penei Sewell. He's going to be a beast for us, and that entire offensive line is going to be really good too. If they can stay
what
healthy.
Were your thoughts on Goff in his first Lions game?
You know, again, it's preseason. It's all vanilla. You can't take anything too seriously. But I did like what we saw from Goff in the offense. You know, the first drive was a mess, but the second drive when they were actually moving the ball, I thought that was fine. You know, there are people going, oh, you took all that time off the clock just to settle for three. Again, it's a preseason. I thought Goff looked fine. Eli didn't like this opinion from me on Friday night, but I thought he made a couple nice throws on that second drive too. Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be something for us. Yeah. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I think the thing with Goff is I think Lions fans are so used to Matthew Stafford, so it's not fair to compare Goff and Stafford because they're not the same quarterback. And when you don't see a bullet from Jared Goff, it's like, oh, that's slow. But I think we were just so spoiled with Matthew Stafford for so many years where we expect every quarterback to do that now. I thought Goff was solid too. Like, it was the first preseason game, vanilla, but I think he's getting comfortable, and I think, you know, him and Amon-Ra St. Brown were a nice connection that night, and I think they're going to be a very nice connection going to the season. And when he gets Hockenson back, because he wasn't in that game as well, I think that's another piece. Swift, that's a nice three right there.
Not to pick on Eli here, but it's funny that you mentioned how, you know, we're so used to having Stafford throwing darts all over the field. One of the comments Eli made was that he's not used to his quarterback not dropping dimes, I think is what Eli said.
Yeah, like, it's Matthew Stafford's in a different category, man. Like, Stafford's elite. It's there's not many guys like him.
Like, to me, it just seemed like, when Matthew Stafford throws the ball, like, there's, like, a second in between when he throws and when the receiver catches it. But with Goff, it's like I could have, like, mowed the lawn while I was waiting for the ball to get to the receiver, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
I thought he made a couple nice throws. In general, I thought it was a fine game. I didn't think Goff and the offense looked bad.
That one pass he had in the end zone where it ended up being broken up, that was a very good play. That was ball a by good Jared
throw.
Goff.
That was a good throw. I will give him that. I watched that one. He made a pretty good throw.
I mean, overall, I thought it was a solid first game. The first drive, like you said, was a mess. His first throw as a line was terrible. But overall, I mean, he was pretty accurate. you know, he's not never been a big arm quarterback, but
no.
He was getting down the field. It took some time, but I don't know. I'm not worried about it right now. We'll see. We'll see once the season actually goes, and that's when I think I could get more of a valuation on Goff.
When we start scheming, that's when I'm actually going to.
Exactly. I think that's when you could start getting fair valuations for Goff. I don't think we can really evaluate too much from that first game.
No, and it goes back to the point that I've been trying to hammer home throughout this entire segment. It's just preseason. It's very vanilla, you know? But as for the Lions' second preseason game, it's going to be Saturday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Very quickly, Tyler, because I want to give Grant some time to talk about his Raiders. Is there anything specific that you're looking forward to in this second preseason game?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how the second preseason game is now in the NFL in general. Like, is it going to be starters playing? Yeah. Like, is this like the dress rehearsal game now?
Is this the new week three of the
preseason?
That's
what I'm saying. Like, I'm intrigued to see if this is the new week three, or is the preseason just not important anymore for starters and it's just going to be fully backups for most of the game? Or I have a feeling it's going to be kind of similar to week one of the preseason. It's going to be like maybe a couple drives with the starters, and then after that, it's just going to be backups. I feel like it's not going to be the dress rehearsal game that we're used to, that week three game. I feel like now it's just more than important. You got to get the evaluation down with some of these backups that you don't know too much about. And I think it's more important for those guys than the starters, because you got to see what you have in them, if they're reliable, and, you know, you want to see them versus other teams. So I'm intrigued to see what the game plan is with Campbell. And I'm interested to see when they ask him in the media this week what the plan is for the starters this week. And I think that's going to be an interesting question to follow this week.
I love seeing Campbell cussing on the sideline during the game.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I did.
That was funny.
Dan's a big guy, man. He's such a big guy. He's so tall. I mean, he looks like he can still play. He has, like, the leg sleeve still going. I mean, he's a big guy.
I love MCDC. I hope it works out because I like him a lot. He's really easy to root for. But let's move into the Raiders now, and then we'll get out of here. So, Grant, Nathan Mania is here, baby. Take all the time that you need. Talk to me about Nathan Peterman and how the Raiders looked in their first preseason game.
Just to blow up everything you said at the beginning about preseason talks.
Oh, it's not vanilla for you.
Preseason's everything. Raiders beating the Seahawks 20-7. Nathan Peterman looking like Jesus reincarnated out there. And I know there was some talk about the Raiders being like one of the worst teams in the AFC, but
You could just add me and Tyler.
Yeah, there was talking here.
You could just add us.
I still believe that.
I also still believe they won't be good.
Starter worthy quarterback. Name another team.
What was the question?
Name another team that has three starter-worthy quarterbacks.
Who are your three starters? Mariota, Derek Carr,
Nathan
Peterman?
Nathan Goederman.
This conversation is over. I'm muting my mic.
They have all started.
When one of the co-hosts mutes his mic, then that's when we know it's bad.
Yeah, that's fair. I just had to spew that really quickly. That's all garbage.
Spew!
I really hope Peterman and or Mariota or Carr, we can trade somebody here. Like, I feel like the Raiders are just wasting assets or potential. Like, I'm not saying they can get a first rounder after Nathan Peterman to put up one good preseason game.
If you did, I'd kick you out the call.
Right, absolutely not. No, but there's talent on this team that is kind of being wasted. Like, I think Mariota could start or could be a backup in a pinch. Now that Peterman has proven himself as not a guy that's going to come out and throw five interceptions a game, I think that's fair. I think it's time to kind of give Mariota like his chance to shine somewhere. Maybe not shine, but maybe back up at least. I don't know. I would like the thing I took away from this preseason game, which does not mean anything, is the Raiders can trade one of their quarterbacks. They have to. At some point, there's assets out there. There's building blocks that can be taken. Also, first round pick Alex Leatherwood looked better than the media said he would. So that was promising. Those are my major takeaways because preseason really doesn't mean anything. But I was hoping to see Nathan Peterman kind of show up, and
he did. He threw the ball a lot.
Compared to
Gruden
his first
said
game
go.
Against the Chargers. Yeah. Gruden said fly. Peterman said how high.
Did you see how Drew Locke did in Minnesota, by the way?
I don't concern myself with Drew Locke at all, ever. He could go 50 for 50 with 6 touchdowns in the preseason. Oh. And you know what? It's the preseason.
What if Nathan Peterman did that?
I mean, that's a whole different story. That's, no, I'm just kidding. I mean, it is preseason, so you have to take things with a grain of salt. But
did Mario
No,
play?
I mean, no, he was doubtful with leg soreness, which I thought was code for is being actively traded. It did not mean that. He's still a Las Vegas Raider, but he did not play. It was the Peterman show all day, baby.
All right, boys, good show this week. It was fun. Talked some Tigers baseball, which I know Tyler loved. Got some preseason football in there as well. It was a good show.
Toledo? But
we got some Toledo talk. Elephant ears for the second straight week. My goodness, the amount of elephant ears talk that we've had on this podcast in the last 2 weeks has been a lot more than I ever wanted, but here we are. Mike and Eli, by the way, Mac Jones in his preseason debut, 13 for 19 with 87 passing yards. Patriots beat the football team, I think.
He ate up the football team.
I'm leaving. Goodbye. Thank you all for listening. For Eli Bashy, Mike Bilica, Jay Horn, who left. He has a hoops run. He's out of here. Along with Graham Richards and Tyler Sawa, my name's Tony Nebrowski. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you all soon.